Please be seated. Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may the Spirit of God be always present. Amen. The scriptures that we heard this morning, all of them, are full of persecution. Brilliant. Luke is, I think, getting us ready for the Gospel of Matthew, which I believe is the one that has lots of like gnashing of teeth and fire. So with Advent around the corner, that's something for us all to look forward to. Okay. In Isaiah, we heard that God is creating something new after a time of difficulty. In Thessalonians, the letters to a group that is now being persecuted for their faith, and at that time they thought that Jesus was going to return imminently, and they are encouraged to keep doing the work set before them and hold fast to what they've been taught. And then at the time of the writing of the Gospel of Luke, as we know, the entire community is reeling because the temple has just been absolutely destroyed by the Romans, Jesus' words are linked to end times by Luke, probably because of this. This is probably why he sticks it in. Now, what are we to make of this over 2,000 years later in a relatively peaceful part of the world? Powell River, it's beautiful. We don't have anything to worry about. And as we touched on last week, we're not being persecuted for our faith here. The catastrophic nature of the temple being destroyed would have been akin to the gasp, the collective global gasp of watching the Twin Towers fall on September 11th. It would be like watching the White House burn, or the Pentagon, or Capitol Hill. For the people of the nation, of the Jewish nation, it was a center, and I mean still is, a center of faith and of who they are. Their identity was deeply tied into it because that was where God dwelt with God's people. So this was huge. And people really needed hope because they were being persecuted for being different, for associating with that rebel leader, Jesus, who had challenged temple authorities, turned over tables, driven out merchants, commended a widow's giving out of her poverty, denounced the scribes, and told the parable of the wicked tenants, which was really aimed against the temple leadership and was the final straw that led to Jesus being taken to his death and to Pontius Pilate. So the temple, for Luke, has been a place that he's constantly returned for many, many scenes of Jesus. Here we are. What's the message? Because we're not being persecuted. We don't live anywhere near the temple. And I found myself asking while I was preparing this sermon, where is the good news for us? While also trying not to be too Advent-y, because as you know, I get very excited about Christmas. So Jesus is saying, I think in this passage, how sad it is that we speak about the temple and do not speak about the presence of God, instead focusing on the beauty of stones and adornments and craftsmanship. Perhaps for us, the church of over 2,000 years later, the message is, don't get caught up with the buildings and the finances, who uses what room and scuffs up the floors. Focus on the presence of God and what God is doing in this place. What is God hoping to create? Because God's always creating, like in Isaiah. God is always creating. It didn't stop at the end of the 7 days. He's like, whoop, done, on to Mars. Where do you feel God's presence most when we are gathered? Where do you feel, as the people and the body of Christ, God's call to action in this place? Now, Paul, always being truly helpful, speaks of trying to offer an example of discipleship for the people of the Thessalonian church to imitate. Now, the translation in our English version that we heard this morning is actually a little bit dodgy, to be honest. The letter's quite often been used to bash poor people. If you've ever heard of like the gospel of prosperity, a lot of preachers who believe in that will basically say, people who are poor are lazy. That's not what this means at all. And this has caused like a lot of, you know, separation and it's used to divide people. It's not a unifying text when it's viewed that way. So I got my super nerd on and got a Greek dictionary out, which is always a very thrilling and terrifying thing for me. I didn't really. I used Google. I'm sorry. This actual passage is not a message about the poor being lazy. Instead, the letter is about judgment and gossip, which is detrimental to any community. I think we could all agree on that, but particularly to the Christian community, okay? Which seeks to support and build one another up, right? So what the Greek really says, and this is my translation, which I kind of shored up with a couple of other people who were like, yeah, that's basically what it says, is those who are not working but are working around, meaning they are not doing their own work, but they are busying themselves with the business of others and idly chatting about what they're up to. So in other words, what other people are doing is absolutely none of your business. And as my mum often says to me, well, darling, what people think of you is really none of your business. And I'm just like, thanks, man, really helpful. So what others may or may not be doing and concerning ourselves with it is just toxic to our community. Instead, what Paul is saying is do the work that you can do. When COVID struck when I was at Holy Cross, which was the parish I had before coming to you all, I had 5 weeks with them. I had 5 Sundays with them, and then COVID struck. And my warden was 90 years old, okay? And she has family in Powell River. Her name was Gwen Larmacraft. And this lady was a force to be reckoned with. She had a walker. She was about this big. Like, very frail. You know when you imagine a feisty grandma who, like, you're glad they can't run after you? Like, that was Gwen. She was a phenomenon of the church, and we have many like her here. When COVID struck, she was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm here at the church, the whole church, serving in the church was her whole life. So she took it upon herself with no instruction from me. Bear in mind, I've been there 5 weeks. I was like, oh, right. She took it upon herself every Sunday after the Zoom. Welcome. Come on in. After the Zoom, she would get out the parish list and, no joke, would call every single person on it. Now, this is a tiny little white grandma, okay? Does not speak Japanese. Majority of that congregation were Japanese. Called every single person on that list and left messages saying, we're praying for you. Hope you're doing okay. Is there anything you need? Let me know. We got a new vicar. She's very able. She'll drop your groceries, that sort of thing. Like, she was fantastic. She was just, and I said to her, I was like, what are you doing? I should be doing that. And she's like, I'm doing the only thing that I can do isolated in my room at the care center, because she was taking her meals in her room. The only person she was seeing every day was a care aide twice a day. And she said to God, what can I do? And God said, keep people together by calling them, let them know that they're okay. So she was doing what she was doing. So I think what Paul is saying to us is he's saying, do the work that you can do, okay? Do what Jesus has given you to do until he returns, okay? Even if you feel like you might be too old, or you feel like you might be too tired, or too busy, or too stressed with work, do what you can do. And this takes us all the way back. This is a great reading for like the end of year of our, sort of coming to the end of Luke. This takes us all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden, because people were created to be stewards, and Adam and Eve were created just to be stewards of that one piece of garden. And they had one job, really, didn't they? But we're not going to go there. They had one job. Literally, that is all you have to do, is steward the little piece that you have. And I think that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, don't stand around worrying if other people are doing what they should be doing right, okay? Do what you can do. So in the church as it stands all this time later, right, we compete with the shinier adornments of the temples that are all around us and that have been built all around us. So we've got online shopping, we've got celebrity gossips. I mean, the Kardashians, like if aliens were to go to Instagram and this was what they thought to learn about the human race. I just want you to imagine this for a second. If aliens came to Earth and they were like, oh, look at this, it's a great big thing of pictures, we don't have to learn the language, they would think that the Kardashians were royalty and that we worship cats. And that is what, that those are the temples that have been built around us. Those are the shiny things that we're like, ooh, another cat. I do it. I follow, like, I've just slowed it down to just three cats now. But sports idols, television, the clicker reel on CNN. Have you ever been in mid-conversation in a restaurant somewhere and the clicker reel for CNN is going silently and you're like, oh my God. And it's just, these are the adornments that Jesus says, don't get carried away with these things, people. Focus on the presence of God. And we're going into Advent, like the presence of God among us. That's basically the whole point, right? Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I know that there are many studies on church attendance at the moment, right? And I know that a lot of you can remember when this church was packed and you had 90 kids for Sunday school. It's always 90. People always say, oh, we had 90 kids for Sunday school. And I'm like, okay. Studies say the church is going to shrink in its present form. It's not going to look like this. They say 2040, I'll be out of a job. So, you know, I'm going to be staying in someone's basement. So I'll be approaching the younger among you to find out who's got a basement. All right. And people say, I am too old or I am too tired to take part in this ministry. But just remember Jesus at the temple, how he commended that widow for giving out of her poverty. Out of the poverty of being old, out of the poverty of being tired, out of the poverty of being stressed, out of the poverty of being isolated in one room in a care home during one of the greatest plagues we've ever seen. A 90-year-old lady opened an internet browser for the first time. And all of us have one thing that we can do here in this place. Now, each of us is required to give out of what we have, and perhaps you cannot make soup or lift a big pot. But maybe you can welcome people on the door if we did a community dinner. Maybe you can clear up after one coffee session a month with one other person who feels like they can't do it by themselves. Maybe you can do that. Maybe you can occasionally go to the Willingdon Creek services or the extended care services, and you can sit and help one person find the right page in a book as we sing hymns awkwardly in the corner. Because it is bizarre. But maybe you can do it and light up one person's day because you have the strength enough for that out of your age and poverty and wisdom. Maybe you can do that. And the reason that I know that you can and I know that you will, because I know that you have to, because the journey to the cross of Good Friday is not an easy one. It's not an easy one. It's never meant to be easy. Jesus didn't say, come follow me. It's going to be a riot. We'll have a great time. He just never said it. He never said, this is going to be great, guys. He said, I'm homeless. I've got nothing. Sparrows have more than I have. Foxes have more than I have. But if you come with me, I'll show you the kingdom of heaven. It was never about, come with me. We're going to build a church. It's going to look great. I'm thinking Apex. Never, ever said it. Now, we have to write a parish profile, and I bashed on a lot about this, but I tell you what, I'm going for the training soon. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to come back with a flip chart. It's going to be wild. There's going to be pens of different colors. Oh, I can feel the excitement building. At some point, we have to write this parish profile, all right? I would love to stay with you all forever, but I am the interim, and whatever happens, it's about what God wants here in this place with you awesome people as part of your journey. The people of Power River. Now, maybe I end up staying, maybe I don't, but regardless, we have to write this parish profile, okay? And wouldn't it be wonderful if this parish profile spoke about what God is creating here, like that beautiful passage from Isaiah? Wouldn't it be amazing if it said, there is a ministry that is happening here that every single person in this church has one small part in? Wouldn't that be incredible? Even if we've been telling ourselves we are too old, we are too tired, wouldn't it be something if our parish profile was the first in this diocese to speak of a Eucharistic community that from this altar behind me, where we share in the bread as the body of Christ, the bread that none of us had to earn, but that is given so freely, that we went from that altar to declare the presence of God and find joy in everything that we do, like the people that Isaiah speaks about. Wouldn't that be incredible to see that on paper and to have priests around the diocese be like, oh, hello. Wow. Jesus tells us, I'm not going to return to you right away. So while I'm gone, you're going to need to be patient. I hate being patient. Fruits of the spirits, hate it. Hate it. And not concern yourself with what others are doing or not doing, but what God, your creator, is creating among you, because he never stops, never stops, never rests, never sleeps. God never stops changing hearts and minds and drawing people to Christ. And Jesus says, you don't have to worry about what you are going to say. I know sometimes there's fear with ministry. Well, if we start a community meal, then people will come through the door. And how are we going to get them into church on Sunday? Doesn't matter. Not your business. Not your business. Welcome them in for some soup. People ask questions. People get curious. They're like, why are these people doing this? Why are they giving me this free meal and spending time with me? Why do they seem so happy in what they're doing? Why is everybody here? Why? As we prepare for whatever it is that comes next, God will give you the words. You know how I know? Because a lot of what I'm preaching this morning is not written down in this sermon. All right? As we prepare to welcome Jesus once more this Advent season, we can spend some time considering what we, the church in Pearl River, would like to do and where we feel God is nudging us. Because it's not always a call. You know, when people are like, I heard a small, still voice, and I'm like, that's brilliant. That's never happened to me ever. It's been more of like feeling a boot at the bottom of my back, being like, get out there. And I'm just like, but, you know, Netflix, get out there. All right? What would it be like to think about these things without buts? But we don't have the people, but we're getting too old, but we're tired, but work is so busy. When God calls and says, hey, you, I have an idea. In the Bible, think of Isaiah for a moment. Think of Isaiah. Think of the many prophets that we read about. So many of them said, surely not me. I mean, Jonah ended up inside a giant fish. Gross. But even Isaiah, who is like one of the major, major prophets, right? Like just insane amount of writing. He even said to God, I'm a man of unclean lips. And God said, not a problem. I've got a cherubim and some hot coals. We're going to take care of it. Moses said, surely not me. And God said, take this staff, jab it in a river. Jesus said, God, take this cup from me. But your will be done. That's the Jesus that we follow all the way to the Good Friday cross. And what these readings over these past few months while I've been with you have been teaching us is that you are all worthy. You are all enough. You could all be Isaiah. God is longing to reach out and hear you reach back and say, okay, maybe me. I could do that. I could greet at a door. I could go to Willingdon this week. I could hold someone's hand at extended care. I could turn up for a soup kitchen. I could do that. That's what God wants and desperately wants to hear from the church in Powell River. And you know how I know? Because God's given us proof again and again, because the Bible is literally the story of God's constant tussling and love for humanity and need to prove God's self to us, because we're all Thomas. We're all doubting all the time. Completely normal. We're all doing it. It's actually the biggest thing we have in common, right? So you are God's people. And as we enter into Advent, this is so important, as we get ready to welcome God among us, we all need to listen to God's call now and follow it. Because the greater church will not look like this by 2040. So all of us have to decide right now, as we get ready to write this profile. This might be the most important profile you ever write. What does God want? And what can each of us, tired, old, stressed people, do? If we do that, writing this profile will be so easy. May it be so. Amen.